your breath.
Hi everyone, welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA and NBL, on demand on FBI Radio. My name is Wesley, joining me today, Sam Rabbit and JB.
Yo.
Ooh.
Hi everybody. We are currently into the fifth week of the NBA and the ninth round of the NBL. Obviously a lot of different topics. Before I analyze Rajon Rondo chucking a dummy spit, or NBA fining Greg Popovich $250,000 for being a smart, responsible coach. Here's JB with the headlines.
Before I start, I just want to clarify the correct Australian and American pronunciations of Rondo's first name.
Rajon?
You can say that.
Rajon.
But I can't say that. If I say Rajon, sounds like, an idiot.
So back then we have to say Rajon.
Rajon?
Sound like you're being trying to be black like that when you.
I like that Rajon Rondo. He's a great player, but he doesn't sweat.
So what do I say? Rajon.
Rajon.
Rajon. I just say Rondo.
Just say Rondo.
Anyway, Rondo's streak of double-digit assist games has ended at 37, tying John Stockton for the second highest streak of this kind in NBA history. And the main reason why the streak ended was because Rondo was ejected during the second quarter of Wednesday night's game against Brooklyn, and it's super tough to get assists from the locker room. Rondo was suspended for 2 games for his actions, and all I can say is suck shit, Rondo. You're a cat. You threw a ball at a ref last year. He's chest bumped a referee. He's throwing cheap shots at Wade and Heinrich.
Mm.
He's a
you don't
he's
like him, do you?
I love his game, love his passing, but he's such a tool.
Yeah.
He's a massive
tool. I personally thought it was pretty over the top. I mean, Humphreys, you know, Garnett went baseline and Humphreys hit him. It's a foul for sure, but Garnett didn't seem that pissed, you know?
Not only that, Garnett's fouled way harder than that.
Yeah.
And any foul.
And Rondo's taken it on himself to have a go at Humphreys. Humphreys has just put his hands up and had a bit of a fisticuff, and they're both gone. I think it was Rondo's going to look back at that and be a bit off it because he lost his streak over what? Over a nothing little ticky-tack foul at the end of the half.
He had no business. It's sick he was, like, defending his teammate, but it was totally unnecessary.
Bagman, and I think it was really unfair for Humphreys to be ejected.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he defended any way you would defend. He was boxing out any way you would box out, and
he was the only player that didn't get fined. As a result of all that.
I think the NBA have noticed that then. You know, they've realized he was just, you know, a little cat like Rondo comes up to you flailing, you know, and what are you meant to do? You put your hands up, bang, you've started a fight, you're in the stands, you're
and
out.
And how biased of the commentators in Boston. Oh, it's so good to see Rondo in there sticking up for his big man. I'm like, he's not sticking up for anybody. Humphreys could sit on him if he wanted.
We should also clarify that Wallace got ejected as well.
Well, he only got one. He'd already had a tech. That's why he got ejected, because he got
second
one tech for running in.
Mm.
So that was probably pretty fair, I reckon, because he came steaming in.
He went after Garnett.
Hard.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm backing him. Yeah.
I would have liked to just see Rondo ejected, Garnett. But Garnett got up fired up as well, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He could have got
so he rolls.
It was a good hard foul. I think it was totally blown out of proportion because Rondo went and made it heavier than it was, but trying to push him into the crowd.
Yeah.
I think it's blown out of proportion because Garnett looks like Skeletor. Everyone was worried he was gonna shatter when his tailbone hit the ground.
When you were watching the game, did you feel that Deron Williams was pretty much controlling that game, and the frustration of Rondo was a reaction, a result of the fact Brooklyn were just beating them down?
Could very well be.
He's a petulant little bitch.
Yeah.
And whenever things don't go his way, he cracks his
shit. And they were losing, you know, by 10.
They were getting smacked around.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that they weren't really chipping in. They weren't closing the gap. They weren't closing the deficit.
Yeah.
And they're in Boston, so it's
exactly.
Like,
and in Boston, they're always physical. They've got the mental edge over you. They've got the home court advantage. And I think they lost that literally from the first quarter.
Well, they missed him. They missed him big time because they end up losing by 20.
Yeah. So it was sick that Pierce got crossed the fuck up by Joe Johnson.
It's probably the play of the year so far like gangster play of the year.
Bagman, just a quick one. How was Rondo going in terms of staying on that streak before him being ejected? Do we know that?
Well, he was looking super good. If he had got he only had 3 assists in the second quarter in this game, but you remember a couple of games ago, I think it was against the Magic when they were losing as well. he had 6 assists only with about 3-4 minutes to go.
Yeah, they rammed sets.
He always lights up towards the end of games.
Well, yeah, so they did want him. On purpose.
They want him to get the record, so I dare say
they would have supported him. But,
yeah, they've done it before.
Doc
yeah,
they record. Did it a couple games ago when Doc Rivers changed his entire offense to suit him getting assists.
Right? Yeah,
which I don't know if so the Jazz ever did that.
So you'd say it would be a pretty safe bet that he was probably going to continue that streak had he not blown his little Prince hair?
You'd think so.
Yeah, I would put money on it.
And that would have put him above John Stockton of the Utah Jazz.
I think that's why I said he'll look back on that with a bit of regret.
Nobody goes above John Stockton.
In a tough year for injuries, it's nice to see some big names coming back. The Clippers' Chauncey Billups and the T-Wolves' Kevin Love both returned to action this week. And clearly, Caleb didn't forget how to rebound during his time off. He's averaging over 15 per game, whereas Chauncey is still amongst the league leaders in having a massive fucking head.
I saw a pretty cool stat today about Caleb, and this is pretty staggering. When Caleb's on the court this season, in the whole 6 games he's played, he's got 24% of every rebound out there. Not just on his team, but everyone out there.
Insane.
Every rebound out there, a quarter of them are Love's.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it about him you think that's making him so hustle. Impeccable? Just his boxing out, his core strength, his...
He plays like he's a college student.
Yeah, but he's intelligent. He's got a very high IQ. He anticipates where a shot's going to go off the ring. Great rebounders do that. Rodman was insane at it, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, he's, you know, pretty stocky. He's pretty cut. And, you know, you wouldn't want to try and box him out. So, yeah.
And don't forget, Billups has been off for a year and a half. So you can't really compare him to Caleb getting 27 rebounds. So he's got a slow progression.
I hope Billups does well, though. I think the Clippers could be unstoppable with him running that backcourt with Paul. It's in the West, anyway.
It's definitely coming the right time. They were slumping a little bit, following the trot.
With a money 3 shot, I think. Yeah, like I said, I think the Clippers could be unstoppable. However,
do you think he's the only one in LA named Chauncey?
It's a pretty interesting name.
Yeah.
I see that in Tennessee or Nebraska, but I don't see a lot of Chaunceys.
What
in
up,
LA.
Chauncey?
Not from around here.
Yeah.
Charlotte Bobcats owner Michael Jordan, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him, he's expressed interest in bringing back the team's original nickname, the Hornets, if it were to become available.
I love that idea.
Of course, New Orleans are the rightful owners at the present time, but Hornets owner Tom Benson has stated he would like a nickname more fitting of Louisiana, and Tom's wife Gail also said she would like to change the color scheme from teal and purple to red, gold, and navy blue. Whether she was asked for her opinion or not was unknown. But the news that the Hornets could be back is a great news to thousands of douchebags who wear Charlotte Hornets snapbacks but have no idea that the team has been moved.
Goddamn posers.
Yeah. You into it, though? Like, you reckon that'd be a good scene? I reckon it'd be sick to have the Hornets back in Charlotte.
Definitely. Look how well it's worked for Brooklyn, you know, for sure. Any names floating around? I came up with New Orleans subs. I don't know. Is in submarines? Is that a bit edgy? Because, you know,
I thought jugular. What about the Hurricanes?
New Orleans Hurricanes. I thought it was too obvious, though. It's a bit too obvious. Maybe. I don't know.
The shrimp. There's a lot of shrimp there. Why can't we bring the Jazz back?
Well, you know? Jazz would be perfect, but you got to get it off Utah, you know?
Utah has nothing to do with Jazz. Nothing.
Utah straight edge Mormon.
Yeah.
Utah Mormons.
See, yeah, bring the Jazz back to New Orleans. Take the Lakers, bring them up to Utah, because it's a giant lake up there.
Maybe.
It's a saltwater lake. And the Lakers can just come up with something epic.
Siggers like baseball.
Like
gangsters. The Lakers the Los Angeles superstars. People would love it.
Yeah.
We have heard some pretty bold guarantees in the NBA over the course of history from the likes of Pat Riley and Rasheed Wallace, but nothing ever before like this. In an attempt to boost lagging ticket sales, the Phoenix Suns have guaranteed punters a good time at their December 6th game versus the Mavs, or get their money back. Super edgy, considering the Suns have been bitch slapped by 40 points against the Pistons.
And I don't think that's why people aren't showing up to the game, for any Suns fans out there. I think it's a different area and trying to really get people there. So, in my opinion,
Steve Nash isn't there anymore.
There's a lot of fun there.
It might not be any of that, and it could just be there's no real superstar to go and watch play ball, potentially.
Oh, what about Markieff Morris?
And people still go to Chicago games. There's no real superstar there at the moment.
So hold up, though. What are they guaranteeing here? Like, just a win?
Just good times.
Good times. Fun. Let the gorilla play the whole third quarter or something?
Yeah.
I
don't know. Well, you know, we all go to the NBL games. We have a fun time.
What do they call those balls that you roll in? And
What do we call that? Zorba ball.
Good times.
Shooting at half court. Halftime show.
Yeah, but they're going to have to put something pretty big on, because there could be some grumpy bastards showing up to that game.
Or just some cheap-ass, you know, guys that just want their money back for the sake of it.
Like tits.
Like we guys would probably do.
Cheerleaders are topless, guaranteed.
The guys that go see a movie and sit in the front and then complain after they've watched the whole movie and go, we had a really bad seat.
Yeah, and my neck really hurts too.
I was wondering if they would, you know, have camera footage of when you go to take your ticket back and get a refund, if they've got footage of you smiling at any point during the game. Yeah, yeah. No, you were having a good time.
You were satisfied.
We want 15,000 cameras.
Yeah. All right, if you like your NBA to have more charges attempted and really, really slow, fast breaks, then you're in for a treat. 38-year-old Derek Fisher is back, baby. D. Fish signed with the Mavs this week, with the team releasing Troy Murphy to make way for him. Tough break, Murph dog.
Bagman, how desperate are the Mavs?
Oh, anyone who's taking on D Fish has got to be desperate. Yeah. Turnstiles, Fish Eye. It's
plugging holes. Plugging holes big time. Yeah. There's not, you can't make a call until the Diggler's back. Really,
he's
Dallas.
He's enjoying not playing basketball. Have you noticed him on the sideline just smiling and having a great time?
He's just watching Harry Potter.
Well, I don't know. I think he, after winning that championship, he kind of lost a little bit of fight in him.
Durant's definitely got a prettier step back one footer these days, I must say. Yeah, so maybe he's hating that. I don't know. Yeah. Does anyone have an estimate on when he's back? Have we heard? It's still a while, isn't it? At least a
couple
month or so.
Weeks,
couple
think.
More weeks.
Yeah, yeah,
it's fantasy gold, Dirk. I've got him. Come on. Come on, Dirk. I need you.
You got all the old white dudes here, too.
Got too many point guards.
But it really is. I mean, when you consider the Mavs, you know, they were the last, obviously, the team before Miami to get a bunch of rings. Just the way that team just fell apart. I mean, I know.
Well, they all split up, though. Chandler went away.
Chandler, man. Yeah. Chandler was big. I can't believe Cuban let Chandler go.
Well, they bet too. They put too many bets on getting Dwighty, didn't they? But there was there's never
and Deron Williams.
Well, they still could. They could land CP and Dwight Howard in the next offseason if they play their cards right. It's not over yet with Cuban.
Yeah, you never doubt Cuban. He's always he's dangerous.
He's a schemer. You really see Dwight leaving the Lakers to go over there?
If he really wanted to, he would have signed an extension with LA.
Do you think Cuban's gained respect as kind of like a default for winning the ring? Like, he used to just be this kind of borderline psychopath that went to every game and yelled at all his players. But now that he's got a ring, everyone listens to him and the media take him a lot more seriously. Yeah, now he's a genius. I think he's full of shit. And I think it went straight to his head and he got a little too cocky, probably tried to over-negotiate with players. And that's why
it's like it was the gamble, the same as everyone gambled on Labriz 2 seasons ago. You know, and the other people with like New York were lucky enough to get Amare, and the Bulls were sort of lucky to get Boozer, I suppose, if you could call it that. But you know, there was just no backup plan this time for Dwighty.
Well, I'd be interested to see post championship a team that has fallen apart. Does a team come to mind? We're literally talking one full season after they're signing Derek Fisher. I mean, has there been a team that's won a ring a season or two later? They've really, really
Miami
bombed
06,
out.
Miami 06, gone. Yep. The Bulls, after their second three-peat, blew the team up. That was over. Houston Rockets, after they repeated, they were gone. You didn't even think of them. I didn't think they meant to play.
I can understand the Bulls three-peat, them doing that. But
the last
wouldn't
dance.
You think you'd want to just hold on a little bit longer? I mean, wouldn't you have tried to just retain? Why didn't they try and retain Chandler? Obviously, just for Dwight, I understand but there was no guarantees for anyone with Dwight. I just don't see that. It's sad to watch the team doing what they're doing, and obviously, seeing Fisher sign just seems like to be the final nail in the coffin of them bowing.
Just swinging for the fences, though. Hey, you know, if you have Tyson Chandler in this crew, you're probably pushing for a playoff spot in the same vein. So, you don't want to be in no man's land. You want to either be sucking or dominating.
Okay, predictions on Fisher's performance. What do you reckon?
Do you think he's going to go against Reggie Evans and try and get a fine for the flopping?
What's the take on Fisher getting a flop warning this
in
year?
Within 5 games?
I'll be surprised if he doesn't pay at least 15 grand. Yeah.
Just give the ball to Corey Brewer and let Fisher stand under the ring. It's the greatest dunk of all time. Just let that happen.
Such a facial.
I'll die a happy man. That's all. That's the only thing I'm happy about with Fisher back in the league.
In Knicks news, point guard Raymond Felton had a scare this morning when he hurt his left hand in the fourth quarter against the Phoenix Guaranteed Funds. That's what I'm going to call them.
It's nice.
Fantastic.
It rhymes, you know. An MRI revealed that it's not broken, though, and Felton is listed as day-to-day, which is good, considering no J-Kidd. Would have been Prigioni all day long.
And do we know how long J-Kidd is going to be away for?
Well, we were getting to Jason Kidd in just a moment. Still on the Knicks, Amari Stoudemire allegedly targeting a return to action around Christmas Day, according to the New York Post.
And Bagman, we bloody called it.
Called it.
We called this on
Well, we listened to ourselves. We kind of called both ways, really. We didn't really... We said it, and then we also said, but
said
it'd
be a good idea, but we didn't think it'd happen.
Yeah.
Amari hasn't actually been quoted as saying anything. It's all alleged.
We've got to say, as a sixth man, by the way. Feeling comfortable with the role as sixth man.
Born in January 1982, he is 30, turning 31 this year.
Is he a Virgo?
So, no, I think that makes him a Capricorn, but it's not important. The important thing is maybe he's maturing a little bit after punching a glass... The other billion things have happened. You know, he's got bad knees and his eye jab.
He's just seen the writing on the wall. He can't get a start on that team. Why would you blow up that team? It's not broken. Mm. They're ripping.
It's all alleged, though. Yeah. You know, the sources have said he'd be okay with it and that he's all about the team winning and he realizes that they've got a good thing going on.
Well, he kind of owes them after last year. I mean, he screwed them in the finals by cutting his hand.
That's true.
It was a joke.
Oh, you think Miami were going to lose to him?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, at least you'd like to know maybe we might have one game
or win
one. Yeah,
there's commitment there. Yeah,
you know, like, to completely write it off.
He's a spanner in the works, though. Amare Fugasol rumor I heard today. Cheeky little rumor.
Mm.
I think
very
that's
interesting.
I like that as well. I think Gasol on a new team would just bring him back to life.
Well, look, that goes back to what Sammy was saying before. Maybe if it doesn't go well this season, they get rid of Dwighty. He doesn't sign. Send Amari and Nash back together for Phoenix days.
I think everyone needs to stop thinking that's going to happen. I don't think Amari and Nash are ever going to join forces again.
Be nice.
Look at the coach. It could happen. And if Dwighty's sucking and Cuban makes moves, like you said, just fantasy trade two people.
Yeah, I think Amari's looking forward to coming back. And look, I think it could be all of that, but it's also that I think the league needs to realize, and we need to realize, and players need to realize, coming off the bench is not that awful taboo that it once was.
Mm.
You look now.
It's like actors going into TV now. You can be a big actor and do TV. Yeah. It's not a big deal
Absolutely.
Anymore.
Coming off the bench, you can be just as dynamic. It's looking.
Yeah, but
just...
no one's earning $20 million a season coming off the bench, man.
Absolutely.
No,
there is the dollar figure. But do you think when you've got all that sort of money, do you think you get to a point where you're just like, I just want a fucking ring, and I'll do what I've got to do to get a ring, and then we can look at the money down the line. I think Amari would potentially, if he's smart, he'd go, look, New York do look great. And him coming off the bench, man, that's dynamite.
It wasn't that long ago that people were chanting MVP at him. And he was the man on the billboards.
Hey, look.
That was pre-Mello.
But still, it still happened, you know. He was considered at one point good enough to be the man on a contending
team. But it's New York fans as well.
Okay, so...
let's not forget that.
Let's
hang you out to dry.
Let's throw a hypothetical at you, Wes. Stoudemire comes in... and he does blow it up. He is incredible.
Who do you take out?
What
Stoudemire
happens?
For who?
I think
you're not going to put Chandler on the bench, but I'm just saying.
You start the two, and you put Melo at the three.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're running
Bagman,
pretty big.
Is it a question of dollars? If he's coming on and he is making huge plays, he's scoring a bunch of points, he's grabbing a bunch of boards. What then happens?
I think it's more managing minutes. It's not necessarily starting, but managing minutes and see who. Who connects well or who meshes together well with the second unit.
Yeah.
Whether that is Chandler at times or whether that's Stoudemire, maybe. But
forgive me if this is a tool question, but the fact of being a starter, though, enables you to get the higher dollars. It's not a matter of more
he's
minutes.
He's locked in.
All
those guys
right,
are locked
so he's going to get
so
paid anyway.
It doesn't matter about the next paycheck.
So you're saying the owners will be like, hey, we're paying this guy $20 million a season. Get his ass out there. People want to see that.
Well, I think Amari's agent would be the one saying, hey, we're paying him $20 million a season.
Yeah, okay.
And also, if you start benching him and he's not getting enough minutes, his value is going to go down if you want to get rid of him, if you want to try and trade him. He's already dodgy with his knees and his
injuries. And his conditioning,
it's a fine line for New York. I wouldn't want to be in their position. It's tough, man.
Who knows? He might come back and they might put it all together.
He might be a beast.
I mean, it's not like he had a massive injury. He just had like a fucking zit on the back of his knee. it wasn't like he tore a ligament.
It's an ingrown hair, Wes.
Yeah,
ingrown hair.
Can we move on to one more New York player who's been in the headlines bag?
We got two more, if you can handle that.
Oh, I can.
We'll hit with J. Kidd's sobriety watch.
Oh, yep.
Sobriety watch status is up in the air this week. J. Kidd's been away from the team with alleged back spasms.
Stop it.
If you
really?
Ask me, I reckon he's probably at home getting shit-faced on fortified wine and playing Grand Theft Auto.
Definitely. Definitely. Or the Call of Duty just came out, the second one.
Yeah, but there's no drinking and driving involved in Call of Duty. That's what he's doing. He's GTAing the fuck out of it. It'd be great. Anyway.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Get sober, Jay Kidd.
Yeah, good
we
luck.
Love you. And the last piece of Nick news, I know you're gagging for this, Rabbit.
Yeah.
Sheed Wallace added to his NBA record for techs by racking up numbers 316 and 317.
Know about
en route
it.
To being ejected this morning. Wallace was assessed a technical foul for a harsh foul on Argentinian haircut Luis Scola, and then a second tee for yelling ball don't lie when the free throw was missed.
Ball don't lie!
Classic Sheed.
And I'll go further. That's his 31st ejection of all time.
Wow.
Career ejection. 31.
He got some attitude.
Yeah. I mean, it was only a matter of time, really.
He's got mad game, but he's an angry player.
Lazy player.
You know, he's a lazy player.
But it really, is anyone surprised? It was only a matter of time before he got a couple of techs and got booted, really.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's great.
Guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but when it comes to the National Basketball Association of the United States of America, there's never a lack of opinion from players, coaches, and the media. Nor a lack of controversy about a wide range of issues that don't usually involve them. We saw this last week, or actually it was the beginning of this week.
Yeah, on the weekend.
On the weekend, with the Spurs, and this is a massive controversy. Darth Vader versus the Rebel Alliance, as I call it. And I'm just going to give you a breakdown. Popovich not only sat his big three players, but he sent them back to warm San Antonio. Didn't notify the NBA, didn't notify Miami until the morning of the game. As a result, ticket sales had already been purchased, you know, TV rights, commercials, a lot of money. Mm-hmm. As a result, $250,000 go directly to jail. And we had a couple warnings from Stern, first apologizing to the Miami Heat and the sponsors and saying they will be strict.
Yeah, and basketball fans in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then basically every single player, coach in the world took Popovich's side, both on national television, on blogs, Twitter, everything.
Except for Mark Cuban. Everyone else.
He's not a...
What did Cuban say?
Cuban said he, like, respected the fine.
Yeah.
He saw where the league was coming from and said it's pretty uncool to do that.
Is that because his team is the third shittest in Texas?
I don't know. No, how do we all feel about it? I mean...
So you know, guys, the NBA make about $1 million a game, give or take. A big marquee matchup in a big market area can generate up to $1.5-2 million.
Is that just TV rights, or is that ticket sales?
Just ticket sales, everything in general. Not divvying up between club and the NBA, etc. But this is from CBSSports.com, I got this. And they reckon that the NBA and Miami, because it was Miami's home game, lost nearly $1 million in revenue. Mm. So you can kind of see a little bit where the NBA are coming from. Miami have been pretty quiet about it. They just shook it off and said, you know, we don't care what team they put out. Saying what they got to say.
Well, they haven't lost at home yet, which is amazing.
Anyway, it was a good game, by the way.
It was fantastic, and we can break it down a little bit. But Sam, how do you feel about this really quickly?
Well, I think money aside, I think basketball and NBA fans abroad, I think we are some of the best sports fans on the globe, and I think we should really be put forward. It's not necessarily just the people that were sitting in the stadium or sitting on their couches. It's people that purchased league pass. It's the people that want to see these big heavyweight matchups. This was going to be a cracker game, and a definite benchmark to finish out the year, and I think we got pretty much fucked over.
So are you pissed at Popovich?
Absolutely pissed at Popovich. You don't need to send them home. If they need a rest, sit them around the fucking Gatorade cooler, give them limited minutes, but let them be on TV.
There's 6 games in 9 days.
Okay, fair enough. Mm. Limit the minutes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it opens a bigger sort of can here, where why is the NBA schedule so hectic where they have to have that many games? We've seen it before where Pop has bench players. He even wrote last year old on a timesheet. Did you remember that?
Just for
having a laugh. Like Popovich is, I reckon he's pretty underground. He'd have a good sense of humor. He's pretty dry. Maybe him and Phil Jackson would get on pretty good. But
I get that. But what about last season? Was there any record of players getting sent home? 3 starters getting sent home during a grind out, you know, sometimes 4 games in a week?
Not like this.
There's no doubt it has a lot to do with the fact they're playing the championship team. The championship team haven't lost at home.
Mm.
And LeBron James is the best player in the NBA right now.
So why not get your best Warriors and put them on the court?
Would you give a fuck if they sat on the bench for the whole game in uniform?
If I was in the stadium, I'd at least be happy to know that the stars are there, like to know that they're present. Yeah.
I'd be pissed. If I went there and they were sitting the whole time, I'd rather them not be there.
Disagree. I mean, at the end of the day, couldn't you have just thrown Duncan on for fucking, you know, 3-4 minutes on, and just rotated around? At the end of the day, it's a business.
It is a business.
You've got your best product in one room. Fucking put them on the floor. You're not seeing LeBron getting... I know, I understand. They played a lot of games, lots of minutes. Limit the minutes. Let's get the whole roster out there and rotate them. You know?
I just reckon Pop's seeing what he can get away with, to be honest. You know, he's been around this league for so long. Maybe.
I think he's a grumpy old bastard.
I don't know. I reckon he's pretty savvy. I reckon he's just this whole sort of thing. He's like, hey, dear Kamish, my players are old as fuck and there's 6 games in 9 days, you know? He's like... He's a big fuck you. Thanks. Yeah. Love, Greg. You know, deal with it. I'll take what comes. But, you know, I've got Memphis on Saturday. I'm not resting.
I hear everything that you're saying. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. I think he's going to be coach of the year this year. I think he has got an underground sense of humor. And the NBA playoff when they interview him, they had Charles Barkley interview him.
Oh, they did.
And Popovich yelled at him. He goes, you only get one question. And
Sick. I was waiting that whole game. Sorry. I watched that whole game just waiting for someone to have the balls to interview Popovich.
Yeah, totally. Just not gonna say a word. It was almost like it was a bit family fun. Popovich was just playing
along. He's
wise,
man.
Sometimes he's in the zone. I think he knew... You know, with your big three not there, how serious is he going to take it? But also, on a side note, I just want to say, and I'm sorry, Sam.
That's cool.
It's a great opportunity for your bench to play against the best and measure all that and really take that into account. You know, it's not 3 minutes or, I had two minutes to score.
Yeah.
You have a full game to play against the
confidence of the bench.
And they were amazing.
That's incredible.
They only lost by 5.
Imagine how good it would be to have the starters in there at halftime, even if they spent the majority of the time on the bench to give them advice. Like, I just don't get why we're backing Popovich here.
I got to say, I flew to America and went to one basketball game in my whole life, and it was the Pistons versus the then or still Charlotte Bobcats.
Oh,
and
what a game.
Unbeknownst, last game of the season, it was first versus last.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me, none of the Detroit starters were playing this, and they were dominating. It was Ben Wallace, Sheed, Epic. You know, Chauncey. I just wanted to see Rip Hamilton run around.
Sure, Tayshaun.
Only Ben Wallace played about 5 minutes, and, you know, it was a nothing game. Yeah. But, you know, I wasn't upset at that because... It's a super hectic schedule. Yeah. It's 82 games. All of those guys, with the exception of Danny Green, I suppose, have missed significant time from injuries. They're old, and we expect them to be around during money time. I would much rather see them fresh and ready to roll in the playoffs.
Bagman, so here's my
instead
point.
Of one meaning, manage one game in 82, man.
Manage your minutes leading up to the Miami game, then. Rest your players. We're talking LeBron James versus Tim Duncan.
I hear you.
Yeah, but that doesn't... It's one game to them, man.
But no,
doesn't
I think
matter.
Sammy's got a point there. I think Pop knew he was going to do it. He kind of hinted that he was going to do it this season. With
totally
the old
premeditated.
Guys. But I think, like I said before, I think it could be like a bit of a fuck you to Stern and the league, you know?
I feel what he's saying.
It
I
could
think
be. He's not. He's not an idiot. And also, perhaps this is another angle on it. Perhaps he's using it as a bit of fire and motivation for the Spurs to turn like, oh, the NBA hates us. Everyone hates us for doing this shit. You know, like give it a bit of an us against the world complex. It's not out of the question. Coaches need to do this. They need to find motivation. They need to find ways to get their boys
that's
going.
Awesome. I think that's
maybe.
Awesome.
Who knows? But, like,
no, I think it's just exquisite timing. The fact that it was the last game of the road trip. And it just happened to be the nationally televised game against Miami. Popovich said he was going to do it when he saw the schedule at the start of the season.
Did he say that exact game?
That he circled that game and went, you know, it's the second epic road like stint they've done this season.
Mm.
And, you know, the fact that you said, like, why didn't he manage the minutes? It's because this is the last game of the trip and they were going home.
Mm.
And that was the reason why, two nights in their own beds.
Couldn't they have perhaps joined the road trip halfway through or maybe take the first two games off?
Yeah, we can't
Sam, I hear what
his,
you're saying. If you're going to play in the NBA and they're going to pay you millions and millions of dollars...
Show up for the big games.
Sign the autographs. Do something for
the
fans.
Yeah, but that's not their call. It's Popovich's call. If they say get on a plane, he's got to get on a plane.
And Popovich knew it, and maybe he was. It's an amazing
could
topic.
Could just be a whole, like, don't
basically, for me, for Popovich needs to understand that fans pretty much run the game through jersey sales, things like that. You've got to reward them. Don't be a grumpy old fucking emperor. And I'm just saying, give the fans what they're there for. You've got your job. You're paid millions of dollars because people show up to your games and buy your league pass.
He's on the Rebel Alliance. Dave Stern's Darth Vader.
I think you make no bones about it. And you made this point, Wes. You were saying, you know, what if they were playing against the Wizards and it wasn't a nationally televised game? And I think Stern is going into bat for the money.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you see how much the deals are worth. The Lakers TV deal, billions of dollars.
$300 million.
This is a huge, huge moneymaker, and he's protecting not the players, but the people who are putting the money into it.
Show me the money.
Money is more important than winning.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
I can
hate
see
the game.
Pop's view of perhaps using this to make a bigger statement on it, to get it to be broader. If he's been this premeditated in it, well, okay, fair enough. I just don't like to see it. I don't like to see the fans let down. That's my ultimate...
I've always been... You know, Shane Battier said when the lockout season was on that we should have a 66-game season over the course of a normal length of a season. I totally agree.
And that's a big issue here, I think. Games. Yeah, why are they playing six games in 9 days? And why is Stern or whoever put San Antonio in that position where they're old as hell and they've got to play six games? Like, that's a bigger question.
It'll
and what does it come back to?
It
comes back to cash, man. Oh, we can squeeze 82 games in instead of 66. Well, that's like, what is that? $1 million a game? And that's an extra, 16 games?
Yeah,
like,
times 30 teams.
Times 30 teams.
Who else is watching the NBA this season and constantly... I'm always on the edge of my seat just ready for an injury. Like, more than any other season. I mean, the condensed... probably because of the compressed season last season, but I'm just watching players drive and I'm just thinking, you're going to come down and you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, if you were Patty Mills, though, you would have loved the whole incident because you got to play 24 minutes, score 7 points, one rebound and two assists. And the whole bench played great. Gary Neal played awesome. He had 20 points, four rebounds, seven assists. Red Bull Fire, whatever you call him, from
Bonner. Bonner. Red
Bonner
Bull
was incredible. Yeah. You know, threes, inside, you know, jumpers. And Splitter.
Yeah, Splitter was huge.
Is he South American?
Yeah, Brazilian, isn't he?
Mm. Amazing. Mm. I feel like the Spurs have the best second unit in the NBA at the moment.
Ooh. It's bold.
It's super bold.
Yeah. I hear you, though.
Think about it, though.
I don't know. Still with the Knicks, I reckon. Still pretty deep.
Oh, probably Washington.
Oh, Washington hard. Yeah. Or Detroit.
Ooh,
hard.
Going so well.
And obviously, Ray Allen saved the day again in that game.
Yeah, that was a big three ball.
This is the fourth time this season?
Yeah, third time this season.
He's loving life. And who's liking the Miami jerseys with the white?
Much better than the Batman.
Oh, I didn't dig it at all.
Oh, really? Yeah. I like it.
All white?
Yeah, no, it's nice.
Need some sort of, like, recognition, like, just some sort of point of reference to go for.
On a side note, how do you feel about Boston wearing green at home? That's a bit... I don't like it.
What is it? All green?
It's pretty green. It's like that weird green, too. It's not...
Is that the green with the black and the...
It's kind of like a mint green. I don't like it.
Spearmint.
It's a double mint green. Yeah.
Not cool.
And again, Mike Miller. He got massively blocked, which would just destroy your back. Runs up and down the court, shooting threes. Is he injured or not? Is he totally fine after having three fucking things come out of his spine
and
hobble up and down and shoot seven? Or was he full of shit in that playoff game?
You're getting kidnapped and run tests. Yeah.
Good job, Mike Miller.
Good job.
Well, I guess that's about it for the Spurs-Miami. Let's move over to another interesting topic. Rabbit, you're quite passionate about this one.
You talking about Oklahoma?
I am talking about
that. Oh, they've been impressive lately, haven't they?
Crushing.
Yeah. It's been cool to see. I think they've won five straight. They went down to Boston last time they lost, but they've beat the Sixers, the Bobcats, the Rockets, the Jazz, and the Hornets, including the Rockets game with Harden's return. That was pretty interesting. And all the boys got involved, blocking him. He went 3-for-16.
He had just returned from a funeral.
Had he?
Yeah.
Kevin
did he jump shot die or who
no.
died? Yeah, right.
Zing.
Kevin McHale's daughter died.
Oh,
and,
of course.
Literally, they flew to Minnesota that day, went to the funeral, and then came back and played a game and got smoked without a coach.
Yeah,
ow. So that game's a complete write-off.
Well, from Oklahoma's point of view, it was a good statement, though.
Yeah.
I mean, no, take that out of the equation. Come on, basketball. Harden got blocked six times, once by Durant, a couple of times by Ibaka, and even Westbrook got in there. And Durant went for 37 points. So Oklahoma are really coming good, and I don't think they're missing Harden that much. It's cool to see.
I felt sorry for Harden against them. Sorry.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
I just felt sorry for Harden in that game. There was one where he got blocked so hard that he almost wanted to fight because he just got slammed so hard, and it was just a...
Yeah, he got stuck into the beat.
Yeah, what was his name? That
Thabit,
huge man.
The only guy that wasn't on the team last year.
Yeah, fully. He got ejected and then got brought back. It was incredible.
That's right.
Yeah, what did they eject him for?
Because he came in contact with the ref, they
oh,
said.
Oh, really?
And he's got a weird grey spot on the top of his head.
He's got a little Patty Rafter going.
It's fashion police. Yeah, right.
Tactic. But Kevin Martin looking super good. He's averaging 16 per game, like around about the same as what Harden was averaging last year. So they're number one in points per game in the whole league. So.
Wow.
just under the radar, you know? They're just doing their thing. They're still probably the best team in the West, I reckon, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think, didn't we all, like, agree that they were going to be the best team in the West?
We were talking about LA challenging them, but at the moment, LA aren't doing shit.
Well, so. Bagman, my only concern was Westbrook, but he seems to be really climbing and finding his own now as well, so they look pretty
formidable.
He's going to
be up and down still, I think, Westbrook.
You liking it? What are you seeing from Westbrook so far?
I think it all boils down to Kevin Durant, and Westbrook's amazing. The team is amazing, Ibaka's amazing, but Kevin Durant needs to be that superstar, you know?
The impressive week they've had, I think he averaged 29, 6, 4, and 3 blocks.
That's MVP stats right there.
It's only out of 5 games or something, though. Mm, but
still a bloody good
stretch.
Yeah,
it's huge.
And that's your fantasy player, Sam, and you're doing nothing with it.
That's not true. Check it out. Watch me. And Ibaka's found offense.
Ibaka's averaging even 5 points more per game. He's
great. Who do you have on your team, Ibaka or Blake Griffin?
Oh, without question, Ibaka.
Couldn't agree with you more, everybody. Yeah, yeah. Let's all hug real quickly.
Yeah. But Bagman and I were talking about this the other day, on a side note, when the decision was being made to chase Ibaka over over Harden. Obviously, you know, you've got a scorer in Durant, you've got a second scorer in Westbrook who can also create. His assists were up to about 10 assists in the last stretch. Harden is, you know, he's not the same player, but you know, you got to go with Ibaka 100%. The blocks, the rebounding, the presence inside. It was like a no-brainer, and it's all kind of justified now, I think.
They needed his skill set more, it looks like, than
much
they needed
more.
Harden's skill. Imagine if you took Ibaka out of that team now.
There's a lot of less size.
Well, Perkins can't
you can't
jump.
Leave Perkins by himself. It's
hopeless. Thibodeau's handy, but he's no Ibaka, yeah.
And I still feel like when you watch the OKC, they're missing a really good big, you know? What would, you know, like a Josh Smith or if Omari went over there? Or
you,
Gasol,
you want a low-post scorer.
Yeah, just I don't want Perkins there. Like, I know he's like ghetto and, you know, he plays hard every game, but he's just, his offensive game is so gross. He's got really like butterfingers.
Wait, you don't think Ibaka is that answer?
Yeah, no, totally. But like, you can't just have Ibaka. Like, you put them against the Lakers, and at a certain point, Dwight Howard and Gasol are going to take advantage of that and get more rebounds and all that. You know, Ibaka is such a great offensive player, but I'm talking more as a defensive presence as well as, you know, somebody who can do assists and make that extra play.
Yeah, there's no one who can make plays in the post, really, whether
it's all
scoring
one-on-one
in
ball.
The block or... It's, yeah.
Everything is one-on-one.
But
they can do it.
You can't really poke holes in it, though. They're leading the league in scoring, you know?
Yeah,
so,
because they have two of the best scorers.
Well,
they got
scoring covered, though. So, you know, there we need the D, there we need boards. You know, let's plug holes because we got that covered.
Mm. Good point, though. Come playoffs, though, I mean, teams are going to have the ability to really adjust. And
Well, they just did that with Jamal Crawford. Like, the Clippers have lost every game on the road because they really changed the way they play this team. They're taking Crawford way more seriously than they were at home games.
And it's not working then?
Well, yeah, they've lost every game on the road.
You live and die by that kind of shit. It's like J.R. Smith as well. You know?
I just think
he sucked the other night, you know? And
I think if anything that LeBron's taught us over the last couple of years, it's you can only get so far doing one-on-one. And whether it's to your body or whatever, you got to play as a team. You got to make passes. Mm-hmm. And that's how you win games in the NBA.
I think it'll help in the long run, though, for them because Durant's been forced to make more plays rather than score so far this year. So, and they relied on Harden a lot for that.
That's awesome as well. I mean, he's still so young. He's 23 years old. So he needs to get the confidence. It's a mental thing as well. Awesome.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma got some pieces with that trade, don't forget. You know, they've got draft choices. You know, it's only this year. Mm. They can rebuild next year and add. If they add what you're talking about, someone like that, you know, you're talking dynasty there.
At this stage, if you're like looking back on what's happened so far, if you were Oklahoma City, would you do that trade again?
What's that? The
like
Harden?
The Harden trade?
I think it's fairly obvious you probably would. I don't know. You're talking about comparing Martin to like what you got back, or how you're tracking?
Yeah, how you're tracking.
But they couldn't afford to pay Harden the dollars. They're still sitting pretty in the West. They're leading the league in scoring. I think it's pretty justified. And they've got pieces to build and replace Harden or a big later. So, yeah, I think 100%.
And they could still
amnesty
Perkins
if they really want.
I just want to go into it.
My thing is, though, Bagman, if you'd asked me after Harden's very first game
in, yeah,
in Houston.
Yeah.
It's kind of a timing thing with that question.
Yeah, so true.
And if Ibaka wasn't stepping up the way he was, it'd be a different
story. But he's not going to score like that in Oklahoma. He wouldn't have got that though, as many shots as that, you know?
Or that much time on the court.
Yeah.
And he's getting exposed a bit now, I think. His shooting percentage is pretty woeful. Obviously, he's like marching to the line like he always does, but I think a lot of teams are packing the paint and forcing him to shoot jumpers, and he's not liking that so much. Mm.
Just want to go into a little Dreamtime fantasy world there. Let's take Perkins off and put Splitter there.
Oh,
is
yeah?
that a stronger OKC team? Or you think so. less strong?
No, stronger.
I don't know. I reckon I'd probably keep them how they are. Like you said, they don't really need any more scoring.
No.
They don't need another guy. They lead the league in free throw percentage, if I'm not mistaken.
They do.
And they don't need a guy compromising their late game vibe.
Yeah, you need roles. Roles filled. And like, while Splitter could probably have does have a better offensive game than Perkins, they don't need that.
Okay, and let's try another one. Let's take LaMarcus Aldridge and put him on OKC and take Perkins away.
If you put LaMarcus in there instead of Perkins, like who guards Dwight Howard? Who handles Zach Randolph? You know, you saw what happened to the Knicks. They just got abused indoors.
Yeah,
I feel like that had happened.
I think
again.
You put Perkins out there for a specific role, and it's manhandle their center, their big, or their go-to guy. You play D and you board, and that's all you do.
Yeah.
They're never looking for him for a pop-up off his pick and roll or anything. Oh, yeah, Perk, get your jumper going. Never.
And he handles guards on the switch really well. I think that sort of goes unnoticed a little. You can get killed on the switch, and he can stay in front of point guards, it's and that's
just
huge.
It's just a lot more subtle how valuable he is to Oklahoma.
And the team constantly say it as well.
Yeah,
he's the one yelling in the locker room, always motivating him to do more.
Yeah.
He just lumbers around the court.
Remember when there was all pretty big news when he got traded from Boston?
Mm.
And it's like they just won the championship, and they were like, oh, Perk, he's going to bring the missing link, the championship experience to OKC. Sure, yeah. You could argue he's done that. They made the finals, you know? And I think they'll probably make him again this year. So, yeah. Yeah, Perk.
You're not sure about the goatee, but we love you.
Yep.
Looks like Eeyore. Alrighty, guys. Yes, on to NBL news. We are in the ninth week of the NBL. Bad news, guys. Perth absolutely smoked the Sydney Kings. I got to watch that.
It was ugly.
From my bed. It was a little bit of a worry. But we're not going to tell you the score, so eat my feet, Perth.
Nice.
New Zealand still looking incredibly strong. They absolutely smothered the Melbourne Tigers, which leads to feelings that a new point guard, Johnny Flynn, makes bad decisions and needs his ego.
Yeah, I've been watching Johnny Flynn play, and he has a massive ego when he's playing.
Really?
Just like really arrogant shots or...
Just really lazy. Just
all glory.
Jumpy, yeah. Like, I'm just going to take it over, and then shoots just, you know, like 5 for 7.
Probably getting paid chump change from
Tigers. How many games has he had, though?
Well, that's two.
Okay,
this is the most exciting part.
Okay, guys.
Right now. This is huge.
Could I please have a drum roll, Wes? Guys, Townsville won a game.
No! What up now?
How does it feel, Adelaide? 36ers? Yeah, 2-point victory, and I think the Crocs will take what they can get at this stage. Wesley?
Yeah, well, I guess that's about it. The next game in Sydney is going to be played over in Homebush, which is a bit weird, but maybe a taste of things to come for next year as the Entertainment Center, a.k.a. the Kingdom, is getting torn down or remodeled. So all next season, I don't know where the games are going to be, but...
Well, I read that they were doing pop-ups. A pop-up
it could be a pop-up, just like Cirque du Soleil at Fox Studios. It could be that. But I think you're going to see the Kings move a little bit more out west and kind of get that family fun involved.
Well,
anyways,
you're
we'll
like,
find out.
You're talking like hot dogs and soft serves and stuff?
Yeah.
Like IKEA?
Yeah. The cool factor just...
Maybe you could get a voucher at IKEA, you know, if you go out to the Kings game
or something.
No, it's not
that. It's more like
people
a Harvey Norman
IKEA.
Voucher.
You just say family fun out west, I just think soft serve and hot dogs.
Yeah. I feel slippery slides coming on.
That's all for the NBA NBL podcast Full Court Press for today. Please join us next week when we talk about all things basketball. If you have any more questions, please go to our Facebook page, Full Court Press @lickmyballs.com.